Reformation for the defense of the faith. Philippians chapter 1, verses 17 to 21. Today is Reformation Sunday. We remember the 16th century Protestant Reformation on the last Lord's Day of October each year. It was a most significant event, movement in church history since the inauguration of the infant church in Jerusalem, recorded in Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2. The light of the Christian faith in the 16th century, or in the centuries leading up to that time, was most visibly almost snuffed out. It was the darkest moment in the history of the church when the gospel, the word of God, is hidden from the hands, from the hearts, from the eyes, from the ears of the people of God. The darkest time of the day is the time just before the dawn of the morning. The decay of the church has reached, humanly speaking, its most tragically, as it were, irretrievable state. The church is a people called out by God from the world to bear witness, to point men the way to find the living and true God. But she has deviated. She has lost the focus of her God-given mission. Our history books recorded that 1,000 years in the medieval times, as the Dark Ages, there was a period of spiritual darkness whereby the Word of God was hidden, as it were, for 1,000 years from AD 500 to AD 1,500. The church was plunged into the abyss of a man-centered religion with a false gospel message that does not save. What happened? Well, Jude tells us, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. You may think it alarming, far-fetched. The Bible, God's word, was sidelined in the life of the church. Imagine, without the word of God, the people would be so blind, so lost. Indeed, during those times, the people literally perished. Very sad. The gospel was hidden. The way of salvation by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ was not given to the people. It was a very sad chapter in the history of the church. Somewhere along church history, there was a departure from the old path, from the good way, according to the scriptures. Not one generation, perhaps one generation after another, subsequent generations. And if you were to look at the life of Israel, you would be able to trace that same kind of spiritual weakness. You see, the church, when it began, was a burst of spiritual energy, the Holy Spirit coming to energize the hearts of God's people. There was purity, there was faith, there was a commitment to live a holy life. And as the church grew, as men began to deviate from the Word of God, from the teaching of Scripture, they began to wrestle from within the church. And it's a sad chapter. That wrestling match resulted in the Scripture being taken out of the life of the church. I remember speaking to a man. He said, I was in the leadership and I was sitting in a committee to change my church Bible from the King James Version to the NIV Version. And that was the biggest regret in my life. I was there making that decision, and I never recovered. He looked back in hindsight, in lamentation. How sad it is when the Word of God is, as it were, diluted. The Word of God is attacked in a most devious way, not so obvious, but fatal. The downward slippery slope took place when ungodly men who denied the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ set the course for the church. Indeed, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Jude verse 3 says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. How did we end up? Or how did we have this spiritual heritage? Well, it was a hard-fought battle to arrive where we are today with a spiritual heritage that is intact. The Word of God in our own language. You see, during that time, the Word of God was not translated into the vernacular languages of the people. And therefore, the Word of God was left in its original languages, in Greek, in Hebrew, in Aramaic. It was translated into Latin, but that was about it. It was during the 16th century Reformation that, or the events leading up to that, the Renaissance, the period of spiritual, intellectual awakening that moved the curiosity to study the Word of God in the original languages that enabled the people of God especially those who are given the opportunity to read the word in the original language. And Martin Luther, the Augustinian monk, was one such person. He read the word of God and he realized that the way to God is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, or by the grace of God, nothing of his own effort. You see, he did not know that. And he was punishing himself, walking as it or climbing the steps of the monastery on his knees in order to punish himself so that he may feel himself more acceptable in the sight of the holy God. He was ignorant of the truth until he read the word of God in Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. And the text tells us, these are the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans 1 verse 17. For herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Faith in what? Faith in the word of God. Faith in the scriptures. The scripture is elevated to its rightful authority in the church. You see, what happened was that when the word of God is sidestepped, when the word of God is not studied, followed, man comes in with their own ideas of what the church would be. And the world was in the church. And it was a most devastating time for the church. Imagine, during that time, the people could pay what we call indulgences to have their sins forgiven. Ah, what a deviation from the scriptures. What is going on? Well, there was a spiritual awakening when Martin Luther read the scriptures and he was gloriously saved. By grace are ye saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast, not by his self inflicting of torment, nothing of that sort, but resting in the merits of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God became flesh. It was a most crucial truth. This is the mystery of godliness through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where the power of God comes to the human soul through His Spirit. The new birth, the conversion that comes with the Word of God preached according to the gospel. And that was what happened. Our text in Philippians chapter 1 gives to us the words of the Apostle Paul. He says in verse 17, I am set for the defense of the gospel. Now, this is a man who is in prison in Rome when he said these words. What would you, what is your main concern in life? Is it your next meal? Is it to ensure that you would get ahead in this life? Well, the Lord helps us to see that this life will perish And if we put our nest egg upon this life, we are going to be very, very regretful after that. The Apostle Paul was someone who was, as it were, forced with the gospel, in the sense that he met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. Jesus literally arrested him, and he was confronted with the truth. See, he was persecuting Christians. He said, "Who is this Jesus? Is he that real? Is the Son of God? Godliness comes through him. Who is he?" Well, Jesus met him, and he was blinded. He experienced the power of God's wrath, as it were, momentarily. And he realized that this is the truth. This is the way to God. And he was willing to give all of his life for the faith. And that's why he says, "I'm set for the defense of the gospel." And he was willing to be imprisoned. He says that, "I'm willing to be here." You see, in Rome, as a prisoner, life is very, very hard. You could lose your life at any time. And out of all the apostles, almost everyone except one of them died a martyr. In other words, they physically lose their life. And the Lord wants us to understand and know the preciousness of this gospel. How precious is this gospel to you? Or is this just a game to you? Coming to church is to, yes, I think it's like that, to come to know God. But, you know, I have my own domain of love and comfort and security that is in this world that you cannot touch. I give God this. Well, you see, the reason why the church decayed over the last 1,000 years is because such men crept into the church, and they want to assume leadership in the church. That's the greatest disaster, because they bring in ungodly values. They brought in their own mind. And it almost, as it were, crippled the church. But God is not mocked. We reap what we sow. The Bible says, "The enemy shall come in like a flood, but the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." And so the reformers were burned at the stake. Many were crucified. Many died for their lives. They lose their homes. They lose their privilege of family life, of just living a normal life, because they understood that there is a life that is more precious, that is beyond this physical life. They understood absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. And therefore, they were willing to stake their all for the gospel. How much are you willing to sacrifice for the gospel's sake? As we look at the life of the reformers, how they had to run for their lives. When persecution comes, when the freedom for worship is taken away, would you still stand for the faith? Would you still stand for the truth? A hard question, isn't it? A real question. Especially in these last days, when we know that the pressure is upon the church. You know, the world, the Bible says, hates the church. Hates the church. The Bible does not hate good people, but they hate Christians. The world does not hate good people, but they hate Christians. Why? Because it's a battle between light and darkness. If Satan is able to deceive you to believe that eating of the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is good for you, and able to convince you so that death will come to you and eternal destruction will be with you forever and ever, it's all is well. But if you speak about wanting to rescue a soul from eternal damnation in hell, you better be careful, because you will be the target for attack. And the Lord is saying to us here that we have a faith worth fighting for. In other words, we have a faith more worth standing by. And the Apostle Paul says this in verse 19. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He's in prison. And what causes and gives the man the strength to be able to endure pain, to be able to take great sacrifices without flinching, without giving up? Here are two things that the Apostle Paul shared with us. Firstly, he says, the prayer of the saints. The church in Philippi was on their knees praying for God's servant, that the Spirit of God may be upon him to protect him, to sustain him, to keep him. The Church of Jesus Christ. Men and women awaken to the truth. The church in Philippi was such a church that meant business for the gospel. And what did they do? Well, they prayed. So Paul says, for I know, verse 19, that this shall turn to my salvation. In other words, to be rescued from prison, to be saved, to continue to share the gospel through your prayer. That's why it's so important that the church would pray. That we would pray for those who are serving the Lord. Pray for those who are giving up the gospel. Because this is a warfare that is so keen, dangerous. We need the Lord.
to be with us and the people of God to realize the strength of the enemy, and that the people of God will be raised to the occasion to pray. And then he says, and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. What is the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ? The spirit of suffering, the spirit of endurance, the spirit of patience, the spirit that of sacrifice. Because in verse 21 he says, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He has reached an understanding in his life whereby he understood that all other things, all other investment would be hay and stubble, except my investment in the kingdom of God. Do you think like that? If we do not think like that, then you would find that we are going to suffer great loss. And do not say that you have not been warned. Do not say that you have not been spoken to. No one say this to you. Because when the time comes, well, there is no more time of regrets, of loss of reward. Then we cannot say we have not understood. We have not set our affections upon the things that truly matters. Our hearts are divided. Our hearts are in this world. And therefore we are set to suffer loss. But the Lord is saying to us that if you have understood the value of the gospel, then you would find that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit would supply to you an enabling to handle the pressing pressure of life with God, confronted by the enemy. And you know, the enemy is a defeated foe. Looks fierce, but defeated. And if we understand it, then we would have the strength that by the grace of God to persevere with our Christian life. Persevere to invest for eternity. Have we understood? During the time of the Reformation, the people understood. And therefore, Paul was able to say, for this I know, that this shall turn to my salvation. I am in the center of the will of God. This is what God has set for the church to do, to fulfill His great commission. To make disciples and to baptize them and to teach them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And Jesus says, lo, I am with you always. In other words, His power will be with you, His strength will be with you. And Jesus, our Lord, set for us the example. He suffered the contradiction of sinners against Himself. Right? The people hailed him when he rode on a donkey into Jerusalem on Sunday. But by the time Wednesday came, they said, "Crucify him, crucify him." And by the time Friday came, he was on the cross. Why did he allow himself to suffer? Because that is the only way by which redemption can come to mankind. This is the mystery of godliness. God became flesh, dwelt among men. Jesus lived a perfect life, fulfilled all righteousness. This is God's way of salvation. And we are asked to deny ourselves, to take up the cross, and to follow after the steps of our Savior. And so he says this, that because the church has prayed, because the Spirit of God has ministered comfort to my heart. You know, when Paul was in prison many times, the Spirit of God came, our Lord Jesus Christ spoke to him many a times. The Lord Jesus said to him, "Paul, be of good cheer. I have many men in this city." And you see how the Lord delivered him, enabled him, strengthened him, so that when he entered the gate of heaven, the gates of heaven, there will be many who have received the gospel because he cared, because he was willing to bear some losses for some souls. Can we see the value of the gospel work? Can we understand what God has for his people to do? So Paul says in verse 20, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed." He understood the value of this gospel and the eternal life that God gives us. You know, what is the thing that a man will look for at the ultimate of life? You will look and you study the scriptures, you would find the apostles speaking about eternal life. Eternal life. Because one day you're going to become so weak, you're going to become so fearful because you have become so weak, that you realize that you cannot take hold of yourself anymore. And you realize in that moment of cold sweat, chill that comes down the spine, that you realize that what happens after? A sudden dawning, a sudden realization. Oh, frightening. That hell is real. And the Lord does not want us to face all this at the last minute. Last minute. But by the mercy of God, God does save. Last minute. Today we are going to attend a vigil service because there was a man who in the last minutes of his life confessed the Lord Jesus Christ. He was unable to speak anymore. All he could do was give two sounds. That was the only two sounds when we asked him, "Do you want to believe?" in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God had saved the rest of the family, every one of them. He's the only one. Has he not seen the grace of God upon the family? I believe he has. Has he not heard the gospel message? I believe he has. But why did he not confess? We don't know. But was God merciful? We saw that he was. He is. That's why he confessed the Lord. That's why we have the baptism for him just 2 weeks ago. And I recall going to visit him on Thursday evening, 5 p.m. He was on oxygen. And we sang to him, spoke to him. You know, the hearing organ is still very much alive, you know, before a person dies. And we believe that he's able to hear because we could solicit some response from him. And I sat there after singing, after praying. I sat there. I said, how long will I stay here to be with him? Perhaps this is the last moment already. It's so true, isn't it? Last night, before midnight, we received a call from the nursing home that he has promoted to glory. He has run his race, fought his fight, laid up for him a crown of righteousness. What about us? What about you? Paul says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always and so now also, that Christ may be magnified in my body. In other words, for his life, he sought that the Lord may use whatever life that he has on earth to do his bidding. And Paul has understood, whether by life or by death, he says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Wow, what a statement. What an understatement. He was in prison. He has suffered the loss of all things. And yet he was willing. Why was he so willing? Because he understood that heaven is real. He has seen the risen Lord. And he understood the witness of the Spirit of God in his life. And so, as we remember the Protestant Reformation, I pray that it will kindle a spirit of endurance, of strength, to strive for the faith of the gospel. That we are willing to lose a little sleep, maybe a little of our material comforts of life, in order that we may be able to promote the gospel, in order that the word of God may be given, that a soul may be saved. Have you understood the value of it? How much have you understood the value of it? The Lord wants us to evaluate our own life and then make an assessment ourselves so that we will not regret in the final equation of life. We will not be like a Solomon who says, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. I've tried this and tried that, I lived this and lived that, I enjoyed this and I enjoyed that, but it doesn't satisfy me. I feel more at loss than ever. Don't. Right? The Lord doesn't want us to live regret that way, in regret that way. And I've seen the testimony of those who said, 30 years, 40 years, I've done this and this and this, and I regretted that I've sank my time, my energy, my life. But I cannot unwind the clock. Is it too late? It's not too late. May the spirit of the Reformation cause some to realize the perils of the time and the cause of the gospel, the cause of the faith, that we are willing to spare no effort so that the battle will be won. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Thank Thee for Thy mercy in showing us how the martyrs of the Reformation won for us today the church that we have, our worship, the Word of God, the way of life through the Scriptures. Lord, help us to value it, cherish it, and propagate it for Your own honor and glory. This I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.